All right, we're still in Luke. We're still on repentance. If we ever get this right, we might
be transfigured.
Go on a picnic.
It's important to recognize that repentance has nothing to do with material sacrifice or with sacrifice. Let's look and see what the scriptures say. Let's go to Isaiah 1. This is where Isaiah is calling Israel, Sodom. In verse 10. All right, let's go up. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. A very small remnant there is except the Lord of hosts had left us a seed. I don't know how they got a very small remnant out of that. But hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, why does he say that when he ordered the sacrifices? Because they did not see the meaning. They did not see Christ in the sacrifices. So they did. They were just vain oblations, vain activity. And so is everything else we do. If it isn't for the purpose, or if we don't see Christ in it, no matter what we do, it's just vain, empty, meaningless. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 6. Well, let's go to 1 Samuel 15 first. This is where God told them to destroy the Amalekites. And then in verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over Egypt.
Where are you?
1 Samuel 15, now in verse 8. Right there?
Yes.
Verse 8. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And the word of the Lord... Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed and on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, this is exactly what we do when we think there's some aspect of us that is sanctified. This is what happens if some big celebrity comes to the Lord and says, Now a lot of people will come to the Lord because of you. No. It's what you do when there's some aspect of what you are that you keep alive because it's necessary. What is this bleating of mine ear that I hear in mine ear, saith the Lord. So anyway, that goes on and on. You know the story. Verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Amen? You don't repent from the bad things. That's what Saul did in spirit. You repent from you. But the church teaches us just to repent from the bad things. So what ends up happening is they call the good evil and evil good. What? You're doing it.
This whole thing, what you just said, calling good evil and evil good.
It's a biggie.
You are the decider. You have usurped God's place.
All right, let's go to Jeremiah 6. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, Stand you in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Now, nobody comes around and if God says you to do something, you're not going to say, I'm not going to do that. But what do? It's the same as you're saying, I'm not going to do that if you continue doing the old thing. So you say, your actions say that you're saying to God, I'm not going to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have hearkened not hearkened unto my words, nor to the law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, the neighbor and his friend shall perish, etc., etc., etc. Sacrifice without repentance. My favorite saying is, praise without repentance is like fire without heat. And sacrifice without repentance is meaningless. You might as well be sacrificing to a pig or something. But isn't the nature of man, the nature of us, we think we are going to, what we do is we feel guilty and repent over what we think are the bad things. But we don't repent for keeping us alive. We don't repent. We don't bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, because it's kind of fun to think, muse. All right. Let's go to Hosea. Go to Daniel and then go a chapter more. Chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain into the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew that goeth away. Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me, etc., etc. So fundamentally, bottom line, repentance is it's not salvation, but there is no salvation without it. So repentance has to and always be your first and only reaction. Everything else is God's business. And you can say, well, repentance is God's business. Well, maybe. But by the same token, you can say, you know, Satan is doing the will of God, because he's testing the seed. But I don't want to be on his side. So if we say that I'm not going to repent until God makes me repent, then you'll never repent. Because you'll continue on in vanity. And somehow justify it with the scriptures. And that's what's so evil. Everybody understand that? Let's go to Ezekiel 33. Verse 7. See thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, or the wicked one, O wicked, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood shall I require at your hand. This is what really bring forth fruit necessary for repentance means. Because if you in your walk with people do not warn them, then they will die in their iniquity, but their blood will be on your hands. Well, that's pretty frightening. You know what? I don't even want to know. That's one of those things I don't want to know what it means. I don't want to know what it means that their blood will be in my hand. So my question to you, as you walk, as you meet and talk with people and know people, do you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? Do you show them the vanity and emptiness of life? Or do you have circle jerks? And you'll sit around and talk about stuff. Oh, isn't that good? Or, oh, isn't that bad? Or, you're not want for small talk? You got to be kidding me. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. All right, let's go to, we're still in 11. Chapter 33, now we're in verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Or really what it says, from your ways which are evil. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. For the wickedness of the wicked he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall a righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Well, you get the picture. The point of it is, when John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, It's the most important, fundamental thing that man can do. Because without it, there can be no salvation. This is why this is so incredibly important, so mind-bendingly critical in your life, that you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, but you cannot bring forth fruit necessary for repentance if you haven't repented. If you haven't left all of you behind. Now, these are hard sayings. No, it's assumed that you've repented.
Right. It's far more than that, based on.
Amen.
I've heard of that. Part of this life.
All right, that's enough for duty. I've gotta go to the doctor, and I've gotta go to West Jesus to get there.
That would be the other side of the airport.
It's in Grapevine. Take it, big guy.